This is KBOX Heart of the Arts Podcast. I'm Greg Kostraba. I'm in the studio with the artistic director of the Phoenix Chorale, Christopher Gabitas, and Eric Holton, the music director of the Tucson-based choral ensemble True Concord. They're teaming up for a joint performance at Camelback Bible Church in Paradise Valley on Sunday, October 13th. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Greg.
How did this collaboration come about? Tucson and Phoenix, several hours apart. I don't know if you've ever even sung together as ensembles.
We haven't. And that's a crying shame, which is why we wanted to do this collaboration. When I joined Phoenix Chorale in 2019, I made a nuisance of myself by writing to everybody I could find within the state and saying, hey, I'm here. Want to do something? I think one of the best things about music is that we can share it with other musicians and we can all come together and we can create something different and special if we combine forces. It took a few years. COVID got in the way and I was finding my feet. But Eric never forgot that I'd emailed. And then last year, he emailed back.
Which is my pleasure. And it's been great to get to know Chris. And of course, I've been a big fan of the Phoenix Chorale for as long as I can remember. You know, I grew up in Minnesota, which is a hotbed of choral music, but there was this star down here in the form of the Phoenix Chorale. Great records, great reputation. And so since I've been here in Arizona, which is a little over 20 years now, came down to study at the University of Arizona, I've always looked to the Phoenix Chorale as a leader in the industry here in the United States in terms of their choral sound and choral artistry. And so this has been a dream come true to finally bring my ensemble together with the esteemed Phoenix Chorale.
You started the ensemble yourself, right?
I did. Yep, I did. Back in, it was 20 years ago this year. We just completed our 20th anniversary season. It's been quite a journey. Phoenix Chorale's been around a lot longer. We're kind of the new kids on the block, relatively speaking. But things have been going well in Tucson. We're grateful for a generous community of supporters down in Tucson that really appreciate fine art and choral music in particular. And so I think this is a wonderful summit, if you will, to bring these two ensembles and these two cities together. I mean, we often talk about this rivalry between the two cities, and especially ASU and U of A, but we've got something really special in common here, too, and that's great music.
Yeah, there's not so much rivalry in the music world, which is really, really nice. Chris, how have you found it here since you came to Phoenix, 2019, I think it was?
Yeah, I'd been here a few times before when I was with the King Singers. We did concerts in Mesa and Gilbert during my time, but I wasn't prepared for the incredible pride and strength of community that Arizona has. Phoenix is a city, you know, it's one of the top five cities in the country now, and it's expanding incredibly fast. And what's inspirational about it is in such a young city, in comparative terms, there are hotbeds of culture and creative content and art ranging all the way across the valley and across all the different disciplines that you can think of, whether it's performing art, whether it's visual art, whether it's sculpture. And I've made it a bit of a mission to travel around and to see as many of the offerings as there are and to try to get more embedded in the local culture as well. So we try to work with local artists and composers and lyricists as often as we can because we want our sound to have a sense of place. And Eric's being incredibly humble because it's one of the most difficult things to do to start your own professional vocal ensemble. It's incredibly hard. By comparison, I stepped into the shoes of Charles Bruffy, incredible musician, my predecessor at Phoenix Chorale, and the system was there and the structure was set up and we had our donor bases and we had our performance bases and we knew what we did. So I think it's incredible when people have the vision and the entrepreneurial spirit to set their own ensembles up. And I like to collaborate with people like that because I think we can enrich each other's musical offering through doing so. And as you say, music is not a competition. We're colleagues and we're collaborators. We can learn from each other and we can reach new heights if we bring our artistry together. One of the big differences, of course, is Phoenix Chorale is very much a community, a residential organization. It's professional, but all of our singers come from this area, Maricopa County and within the Valley. It's a joy to get to work with musicians with True Concord who have flown in from across the country. So what we're doing is we're bringing people here and, you know, collaborating to introduce people to what the chorale does from different parts of the nation. And I'm really excited. I'm like a kid with new toys that I get to play with these wonderful singers from across the nation.
Yeah, and I heard one of your open rehearsals about a year and a half ago, and it was just spectacular. The rapport you have with the singers and how they are so eager to work for you was just really exciting to see.
Well, it helps if you talk like this.
Well, I guess so. Well, let's move on to the program just a little bit. You've picked a couple of really, really interesting, wonderful pieces for the joint performance, but both, I would venture to say, relatively unfamiliar. Certainly the Frank Martin Mass for double choir is a rarity. Why did you pick that piece and the Durafle Requiem to pair together for this first concert?
The project started actually around the Durafle because, and I'll let Chris talk more about this, I think. He's got the closer connection to Camelback Bible Church than I do, although we love Camelback Bible Church, True Concord. We just recorded our second album there earlier this year. It's a marvelous acoustical environment and aesthetically just a stunning place. And they've got, speaking of new toys, they've got this new Fisk pipe organ, which is a real beauty. And so the church and the chorale wanted to highlight this wonderful new instrument that is truly a blessing to the entire community here, not just the church. The program started with the Durafle Requiem, and that was Chris's idea. Great way to showcase that organ and our combined choirs. The original version of the Durafle was for full orchestra, but Durafle himself arranged it for choir and organ. And performing with the king of instruments, the organ, I think is very special and sets it apart even from the full orchestral version.
Yeah, I would agree. Maurice Durafle, a wonderful French composer, born in the late 1800s and died in the late 1900s, and was one of the foremost organists and organ composers of really of all time, I would submit. And I think France has a very special place within the world of organ music and choral music because of its deep sense of Catholicism. And within the European countries, Catholicism in France runs particularly deeply in terms of its music because it was the French monasteries that really reinvented the style of Gregorian chant singing during the 19th century. This was able to coexist in France because the country kept swinging between being a republic and being a monarchy. And so it swung between sacred and secular. And indeed, France is one of the only two countries in the world where a church wedding is not valid, the other one being Belgium. You can't be married in France unless you have a civil ceremony alongside a faith-based one. So they have this real separation of church and state. But alongside that, they allowed for the culture of monastic singing to be raised again and to be authenticated, if you like, by these monastic traditions in the 19th century. And through that, organists started to extemporize and harmonize to accompany what was once monodic Gregorian chant singing. And you had incredible people like Louis Vian, Charles Tournemire, Marcel Dupré. And these were all the composers and organists working in Paris. And Durafle, who was a boy chorister in Rouen Cathedral, where Joan of Arc was burnt at the stake by the English, but we won't speak about that. He moved then to Paris and he became the number two organist at Notre Dame. He was a scholar at the Music Conservatoire, and then he became a titular organist, which is a very prominent position at one of the main Parisian churches. And he held that post until he died. But he originally wanted to write a set of organ variations on Gregorian chant themes, and that became the basis for the Requiem. Really interestingly and slightly controversially, the Requiem was commissioned as a result of a grant by the Vichy government, so the collaborative government that was working with the German regime during the Second World War. And they wanted to create content and create art almost to greenwash or music wash, if you like, the political situation. So this is not a new thing. It's, you know, it's been going on for a long time. And Durafle took one of those commissions and turned these embryonic sketches of organ extemporizations and organ pieces into what has become his Requiem. And he would have used Fauré's Requiem as a little bit of a blueprint, we think, because the movements are very similar in terms of their structure and content, if not in terms of music. So we have this incredible piece, which is chant, modal harmony, amazing counterpoint, invention, fugue, homophony. It's got pretty much anything. And certainly in my mind, it's one of the top 10 collaborative works for choir and organ that's ever been composed. I love it. It's awesome.
You mentioned the Fauré Requiem, and that leads to something I was wondering about, because there seem to be two different thoughts about Requiems. You've got Mozart and Berlioz, big, gigantic things. And then you've got the Brahms, German Requiem, and the Fauré, much more peaceful, I guess you would say. Where does the Durafle fit in that kind of spectrum?
I think, first and foremost, it's very contemplative. It's got a wonderful sense of French impressionism behind it. There's a wash of sound if you get it right. If we can get the blend of the choir to feel ethereal, and if we can allow the organist to weave in and out of the foreground and the background according to how the scoring's put together, then we can create a really contemplative, dreamlike feel around the piece, punctuated with a few moments of utter intensity the second movement, the Kyrie in particular, has some incredible moments of climax within it. The Liberame has amazingly intense moments as well. And the full colour palette of the organ is used to the best extent possible in the writing. The only thing that I'm concerned about now, we're flying in a wonderful organist, Jeremy Filsall, who works at St. Thomas's Fifth Avenue. And I hadn't had the final specification of the organ when I programmed this piece. And I realized relatively recently that it's not an electric organ. It's a tracker, 100% mechanical. And there are no preset pistons that he can program. And it's only got two manuals. So to play an involved piece like the Durafleet Requiem on a machine of this specification is going to be an extraordinary feat. Now, Jeremy can do it. He's one of the world's leading organists. But I do feel a little bit guilty at the moment.
He can do it. I think he'll love the challenge. And it's a wonderful instrument. He'll make it sound great. You know, I'll just add to the Requiem discussion here, because you mentioned the Mozart and the Berlioz, and I'd add the Verdi to that as well. I think part of the attraction to those pieces is the bombast, the incredible intensity throughout that whole middle part of the Requiem we call the sequence that has the Dies Irae and the Tuba Mirum, etc. Both in the case of Fauré and Durafleet, they eschew that section, that longer sequence, and really truly focus on serenity of paradise and eternal peace and such. And that is very attractive to many people, maybe even more so, especially, you know, at times when we're surrounded by chaos and lots of tumult in the world.
Paired with that Durafleet Requiem is the Franck Martin Mass. Martin, a wonderful Swiss composer. There's no one that quite sounds like Franck Martin, but most people haven't heard of Franck Martin, so they don't necessarily know what that sound is. Who and why was the Martin Mass selected to pair alongside the Durafleet?
Well, I don't remember how we decided on it, but I think once the words came out of one of our mouths, Martin double choir Mass, I think we both said, oh yeah. You're right. It's not very well known, but I would say this is his great masterpiece, and it is considered among the great 20th century choral masterpieces. I've been around this piece for many, many years. I had the great privilege, honor, to be able to sing it in my undergraduate choir many years ago. We won't say how many. It's very special to Martin. This was a deeply personal project for him that quite literally he kept in his desk for 40 years. He wrote the first four movements in 1922. He came back and wrote the final movement, the On You Stay, in 1926, but it did not see the light of day until the 1960s, which is just remarkable when you consider what incredible piece it is. But because this was so deeply personal to him, he considered it an endeavor between God and him, that he really kept it so close to the vest. And he was very considerate of his own work in terms of being his biggest critic. And so there too, he felt like it wasn't something that he was prepared to share with the world. But once the world got a hold of it, it really took off. The piece is for double choir. So it lends itself perfectly to this collaboration with two of Arizona's leading choral ensembles. Grammy-honored voices, I think what we're going to create is something quite special and memorable for people who had never encountered this work or even Franck Martin. I think they're going to walk away with this, from this, and the Durafleet Requiem in particular, just really blown away.
Eric Holton is music director of the Tucson-based choral ensemble True Concord. Christopher Gabitas is artistic director of the Phoenix Chorale. They're teaming up for a performance of the Requiem by Maurice Durafleet and the Mass for Double Choir by Franck Martin Sunday afternoon, October 13th at 3 at Camelback Bible Church, 3900 East Stanford Drive in Paradise Valley. You can learn more about the Phoenix Chorale at phoenixchorale.org and True Concord at trueconcord.org. Gentlemen, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Pleasure. Thank you.
For the KBOC Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.